Our first reading this morning is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud. Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will sing to and say to, on that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honour in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honour and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Vanessa and I'll be bringing the second Bible reading, which is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptised by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them.
Morning again. We're picking up exactly where we left off last week with Andy when he was preaching to us, and he told us about what John the Baptist started doing as he was traveling around in the region of the Jordan River, and he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And today we pick up the story at the next verse. We haven't missed anything. And as we continue on, we hear what it is that John is actually preaching. We hear what is the good news that he is sharing with the world. And here it is in summary. God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. We see it in verse 7 there when John says, you brood of vipers. That's a pretty harsh way to start out, isn't it? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? We see it again in verse 9, where John says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And this theme of judgment is there as well, as John answers the people's questions about whether he might possibly be the long-expected, the long-awaited-for Messiah. And he says in verse 16, no, one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And here's the judgment bit. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The good news that John is going around preaching is God's judgment is coming. I wonder if we tend to think of this as good news. That's what it says in verse 18. With many other words, John exhorts, he encourages, and he encourages the people to action, not just to listen, but to participate and do something as he proclaims the good news to them. That's how this passage describes this news. Do we think of God's judgment as good news? To the people who would have been listening to John at the time, the Jewish people, sort of exiles in their own land as the Roman soldiers are roaming around and lording it over them, they probably immediately thought, oh, great, God's going to restore our fortunes. He's going to judge those people who are oppressing us. So yeah, good news. Even the people of Zephaniah's time, actually, they would have had a very similar thought. I don't know if you know much about the book of Zephaniah. 7 days ago, I didn't know that much about the book of Zephaniah either, but let me let you in that it's only 3 chapters long. We read the very last section of it. So being 3 chapters long, it was great to be able to read it through a few times and get a feel for it. And the message of the book of Zephaniah is that God's judgment is coming. And it would have been good news to the people because they look around them at the neighboring nations that have exiled them to a foreign land and are oppressing them. And they would think, excellent, God's going to set this right. Their oppressors are going to be judged for the wrong that they are doing us. Good news. Only the rubber actually hits the road, doesn't it? When God reminds his people that they too have guilt on their hands. God doesn't have favorites. He's holy, and his judgments are fair and right. And he judges all unrighteousness and all rebellion, not just of the nations, but of his own people too. His judgment will be the purifying agent that cleanses the world of sin. His judgment is good news for a broken world because it will set everything right. But it is also sobering news for people like you and me who have guilt on our hands. God's judgment is coming. It's no longer just a problem for them out there who we point the finger at and think, yeah, well, they really need it. It's also something we have to wrestle with. Am I ready? So if this is good news that John is preaching, and he tells us that it is, then what does readiness look like? What does readiness look like? Is it enough to be born into the right family line, to have the right heritage and the right lineage, to say, my father is Father Abraham? Well, we could say, is it enough to just come to church, to have always come to church, to know what it's like to be brought up in a Christian home or Christian family? John actually answers this question for us, and he says, actually, this is not readiness if your heart is far from God. If your heart and your life are far from God, regardless of your heritage, regardless of your upbringing, this is not what's required. Have a look in verse 8. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say, we've got Abraham as our father, we're born into the right family. No, no, no. I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Don't put your trust and hope in your family line. Don't put your trust and hope in coming to church and doing that often enough that God might accept you. Readiness is not about these things. It's about our hearts. And John teaches us we have a choice to make. We can either follow in the way of the serpent, you brood of vipers, or we can follow in the way of Abraham, the one is to rebel against God. The other is to follow and obey him. And what's going to show which pathway we've chosen? Our fruit. Our fruit. See, membership in God's covenant promises is received freely as we repent. But it is then seen in our fruitfulness. Let me say that again. Membership in God's covenant promises is received freely. We do nothing to earn that. It has never been the way that we work for our salvation. God gifts us this freely when we repent. But then our lives are changed and we begin to bear fruit in line with repentance. Because election into God's family brings responsibility. That's what the book of Zephaniah teaches. Right relationship with God looks like repentance and obedience. The two go together. Or as John puts it, it looks like bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Now John then goes on to make it clear the kinds of things that he means. What does this fruit look like? As the different people come to him and ask him, well, what do I need to do? He answers their question. He says, if you've got more than you need, it looks like sharing with those who don't have enough. If you're in a position of privilege, like a tax collector, it looks like using that privilege to collect only what's due and not to feather your own nest as well. If you're in a position of authority and power, it looks like not abusing that power and being content with what God has given you. That's what it looks like, John says, to be producing fruit in line with repentance. So hear the good news, friends. Judgment is coming. And then wrestle with the question it raises for us inevitably. Am I ready? Am I ready? Now, lest we start to think that our works are the thing that gets us over the line, that our being ready is based on our works, let us remember what Zephaniah actually told us. This is not just a New Testament idea. This has always been God's plan, that he would do the heavy lifting. Let me read to you the reason that the people can rejoice from Zephaniah. From verse 14, he says, sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. Why? Because the Lord has taken your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. Verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. Who is the one who does the heavy lifting? It's the Lord. That's why we can rejoice. And then listen to the promises that he declares to the people. Listen for the I wills. God says, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they've suffered shame. I will gather you. I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes. It's the Lord who takes our punishment. It's the Lord who is the mighty warrior who saves his people. It's he who restores, he who gathers, he who gives honors where honor where we deserved shame, and he who brings us home when we had run away. And this is not because we deserved it. It's because in his amazing grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. So folks, as I wrap up, at this time of year, we look and we remember the first coming of our Lord, the Saviour, the one who came to be the servant and to give his life as a ransom for many. But as we look back, can I encourage you also to look forward? To look forward and remember that he has promised to return. Jesus has promised to come back, and when he comes back, he's coming back as judge and king. And so we each need to answer John's question for ourselves. It's good news. Judgment is coming. Am I ready? Let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for the promise that you will judge fairly and rightly all that is wrong and broken in this world. But even as we pray that, we know that we also are guilty before you, and we deserve your judgment. Thank you for sending Jesus, the mighty warrior who saves us from our sin and who took the punishment that we deserved. Father, help us to live lives of obedience to him and to bear fruit in our lives in line with repentance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.